himself, and we who have been reconciled are now given the ministry of reconciliation. And so even if you don't want to, even if I don't want to, my flesh, it's easier to just run the other way from broken relationships. It's harder to move back into that fire where you've been hurt. And so what do? You just go, God, I don't want to do this. I'm so hurt. I'm so angry. But God, by your Spirit, would you move me towards them the way that you moved towards me, that you pursued me, that song Rescue. You sent an army for me. And so help me to be a pursuer of peace here. And then the reason is so as not to give the devil a foothold. Well, how do we give the devil a foothold? What does that mean? It means that we don't give God a foothold to reconcile. When we have stubborn, foolish pride, closed-heartedness, it's self-righteousness and it's pride that keeps us from pursuing reconciliation. Now, peace is not always going to be made in relationships, right? But there's forgiveness that comes in and we just say, hey, as long as I know that I've done what I can do to pursue peace, then I can sleep at night. And that's what we're called to do. So feeding anger, don't feed anger, pursue peace. These are, again, practical, tangible. Paul is saying this is what it looks like to be in Christ. The third is stealing. Don't steal. Instead, work. Why do we steal? And what does that look like? So I might hit home a little bit. But using somebody else's Netflix account, using somebody else's cable, you know, accessing stuff that, and I'm not condemning, I'm not judging. I'm just trying to think of practical, tangible things. Some of these things I may do, right? But how do we steal? Like, it's easy for us to go, well, I don't steal. But we steal, we rob God. You know, God says, I've given you all this. Now give a portion back to me as an element of faith. When we don't give God what he's given to us and he says, give this to me, we're stealing. We're robbing. Malachi says, you're robbing God. I'm not trying to judge or condemn. I'm not. Don't hear that. We're under no condemnation, right? How do we steal? Work time used for personal stuff. How do we steal? I've heard several times, like in the corporate world, there are folks who, you know, may not be followers of Christ, and I've heard them say, you know, my Christian friends spend all their work time working on their Bible study instead of on their work time. Now, that may be it's a good thing that they're doing, but other people are seeing it as they're using their time. They're not working. We should be known as good workers. Just examples of how we, and why do we steal? So let's say we are practically stealing. Let's say we're, you know, cutting corners on our tax returns. Let's say we're whatever it is. Why do we steal? Ultimately, it's faithlessness. We're not trusting God to be our provider. And again, this is not condemnation. Let the badness of this, of who we really are. We're all thieves. We do it, all of us, in different ways. And so when Paul says, don't do this, he's saying that because that's what we do. But he says, instead, work. Be faithful in what you do so that you can be generous to others. Bring in an income so that you can give and be lavish, because that's what God does. He gives to us so that we can give to others. So don't steal, work. He's talking to the Ephesian church, but he's talking to us as well. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Oh my goodness. I have more notes on this one than the others because it hits me harder. Probably all of you. James 3 verse 5 says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Our tongues can do so much damage. And they can do so much good. Paul says, don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. And I mentioned this earlier, I love this, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let grace come from our mouths, not judgment, not criticism, not carelessness, that people would know Jesus because of how they experience us. So unwholesome talk, What are examples of this? Just unkindness, disrespecting people, being profane, being blasphemous. That's unwholesome talk. I saw a video recently that was interesting to me. It said it was, what are five things Christians should stop saying? Five things Christians should stop saying. And I thought this was a good illustration of what they might be. He might be talking about with not letting unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. So as you hear some of these things, you're probably going to be going, oh, gosh, I do that. That's okay. Don't deflect it. Own it, right? Own it, because there's forgiveness of that. There's grace for that. And the first thing he said was, oh, my God. You know, how many times we say, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. We're not really thinking. And when we do that, I know a lot of it is just kind of reaction, but we forget that we worship a holy God. You know, the Israelites in the Old Testament wouldn't even say the name of God because they recognized his holiness. But we worship a holy God who is perfectly righteous. And oftentimes, in our blasphemy of God's name, not just it doesn't just happen by verbally saying something. It's how we feel about those things. It's just all the stuff behind it, just a disregard for who God is. So, oh my God, if that's you, maybe that's something to pay attention to. What is that, you know, what kind of a light does that shine to other people? And what does that say, even for your own heart? Maybe a lack of recognition or understanding for God's incredible holiness and goodness towards you. The second is a little easier. Good luck. Good luck. Things that Christians should never say. Again, it's a little silly, but when we know that we have a God who's in control of all things, say providential blessings, right? I have a friend. This is funny. A guy that I grew up with, whenever somebody sneezes, like if he would sneeze or somebody would sneeze, somebody else would say, God bless you. And he'd go, by what authority? Like, hey, I just sneezed, you know? Not a big deal. But some of the things that we just say, you know, cultural. So you don't need to say good luck. But I know when we do that, it's, you know, we're wishing good intentions towards somebody. But we don't need to say that. Third thing, making promises and not keeping them. It'd be better to not make a promise than to say, oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'll do that. And then not do it. Not show up. And that does give a testimony. We represent Jesus in our commitments, and so be mindful of that. It'd be better to say, I can't commit. Just, that's okay. The fourth is just cursing and profaneness. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. I don't need to say much more about that, but, you know, sometimes that's a reality. Doesn't mean you're going to hell because you're cursing. We go to hell because we're not covered in the righteousness of Jesus, right? It's not because of our sin. He's dealt with our sin. And then the last is, he says, as Christians, speaking things into being. There's a lot of sort of name it and claim it type stuff that we're pronouncing things that he said, you know, that's only for God to pronounce. We can ask in the powerful name of Jesus, but not declaring, you know, a lot of the things. So that's a little bit off, but those were the five. I figured if I only used, there were probably two or three that jumped out at me, but I figured if I only said two or three, then you'd be wondering, what were the other two, you know? So that's what, those were the five things. Another that jumps out, and I've seen this over the years, married couples. So unwholesome talk, an example, married couples using the D word, threatening with divorce. That word is deadly. That word is poison. That word is, it's death. So don't use that word. If you need help as a married couple, first of all, if you're struggling, if you're experiencing conflict, that's normal. Just know, sometimes that's half the part of healing is knowing that, oh, this is normal. But don't use the divorce word. Don't entertain that. Come and get help. Because we're all broken and we all need that. The last thing to say on this is that what comes out of our mouth starts with what's in our hearts. Matthew 15, verse 19 says, For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, and all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. All this stuff originates in our hearts. Our hearts are diabolically sinful. And we need Jesus. We need his forgiveness. So the more aware we are of just the depth of our sin, the more it'll drive us to our knees to say, God, I confess, I need help. And he'll say, you're covered. You are covered. You're good, right? You don't need to carry that with you. Then the last of the five that really Paul talks about here, and he gets into more in chapter 5. I shouldn't say that. You won't come back next week. This is hard enough. But grieving the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, harsh words, slander, along with every form of malice. That's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? A commentator said, it's sort of like, you know, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, the environment of your heart can either be really full of hate or full of love or leaning towards one or the other. And so the Holy Spirit living in us, it grieves the Holy Spirit when all this stuff is coming out of us, bitterness, rage, malice, slander, just selfishness, pride, just all of that. It becomes a really uncomfortable, sad place to live. And the commentator compared it to if you have kids, when your kids are at each other and they're bickering and they're fighting and they're just, you know, going crazy, there's a sadness, there's a grief that you experience as a parent. You hate to see that because you love your kids and you want to see your kids love each other. And there's also no greater joy when you see your kids loving each other, like the story that I shared earlier. So that's maybe how we picture what it looks like to grieve the Holy Spirit. When all that stuff dwells in us, it's a toxic place for the Holy Spirit to live. So real quick, what are these things? Get rid of all kinds of anger, especially bitterness. What is bitterness? It's the kind of anger that results when you feel like you've been treated unfairly. You feel like you've been treated unfairly. It's easy for a root of bitterness to start growing. Take care of that. Go to the person who you feel like has treated you unfairly and tell them that. Not to slam them and go, hey, you did this to me. Go, hey, when this happened, this is how I felt. This is how I experienced that. And when you do it that way, then oftentimes the person who's hurt you is more likely to move towards you. But when we go to somebody and go, you did this, you did this, you did this, then they're probably more likely to move back. So when there's bitterness, that's just a pursue peace. Don't let that root of bitterness grow up. It'll hurt you more than it hurts them. But get rid of that. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage. What is rage? The kind of anger that's violent and uncontrollable. Rage. That's dangerous. There are a lot of people in prison that are there because they couldn't control this rage. And they're good people. They're kind-hearted people, but rage, okay? Harsh words, the kind of anger that results in speaking cruel, unkind words to someone. Cruel, unkind words. Slander. What is slander? It's the kind of anger that results in speaking cruel, unkind words and lies about someone in order to make people dislike them. So harsh words is speaking unkind words to someone. Slander is speaking harsh, unkind words about someone. And then lastly, malice is the desire or intent to cause pain, injury, or distress to someone. There may be people, you know, coming to mind right now, even as I speak, that you go, I feel this against that person. Well, a good, maybe practical thing is start praying for that person. Just start praying. That's going to be hard. But what I have found, and many of you have found over the years, is that as you begin to pray for somebody, God begins to give you a heart of love for that person. And you just ask God. I mean, in our own strength, we can't do any of this stuff, right? I love what the Message paraphrase says here in verses 30, 31, how it says. It says this, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another and be sensitive. I love that. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life. kind of turning the corner here and closing here in just a few minutes. Questions for reflection. Why do we do these things? Because we all do them. May not do them at different levels, the same levels, but why do we do these things? It's because we're sinful people. Why do we sin? Because we love sin. We do. When we don't admit that, then we separate ourselves from the grace that there is for us in Jesus. Jesus came for sinners. He didn't come for good people. He knew who he was coming for. He knew he was coming for selfish, self-righteous, prideful, arrogant, just sinful people. So that's why we do these things. How do we change? How do we change? Do we change when someone says, you know, I could stand here and say, don't do those things. Just don't do it. No, maybe in the short run I might stop doing it, but we change not by the law, not by rules. More rules are not going to help us. The Pharisees in the Old Testament, and when Jesus came, they had thousands of rules. They built off the Ten Commandments and then exploded in rules, and nobody could keep them. Rules are not going to change our hearts. There's a verse in Colossians I'll just touch on. Colossians 2, it says, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Those are all the rules that they were given out, the Pharisees. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. It looks good, but then Paul says this, they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Rules are not going to do it. Religion doesn't do it. That's why so many people have left the church, why they've left religion, because all they get is rules. And they know they can't do it. We can't do it. Why am I going to wake up on Sunday morning and come in and get hammered? Right? Because I can't do it. And the reason I can't do it is because I don't want to do it. So it's not going to be rules. What will change us is relationship. It is a love relationship with Jesus. It's his Holy Spirit that begins to change our desires. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. We've been set free from that law that condemns us. And those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So what God does is he begins to transform our desires to become his desires, so that the things that start coming out of our mouth are more blessing. They're more encouragement to other people. People feel loved because of what comes out of our mouths, because our hearts are being changed. In a nutshell, Romans 8, 1 through 5 says this, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who became a sin offering and was condemned in our place. Jesus became a sin offering. Like the Old Testament, they'd take those animals in and slaughter them and splash the blood all over and then splash the blood on you. Jesus became that. And he was condemned in our place. We deserved the condemnation. There is no condemnation for us, but there was condemnation for Jesus at the cross. He was condemned to die in our place, so that we might no longer live to the flesh and its desires, but to the Spirit and its desires. And it changes everything. And here's the thing. It's not, talking about this morning, it's not about the sin. It's not about the sin. It's not about these specific things. It's really about the surrender. Have I, on a daily basis, even maybe a lifetime decision, have you just laid yourself out and go, God, I am a total mess. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. My pride keeps me from you, but I lay that down too. God, would you come and take over me, because I can't get it done. I'm not getting it done. I don't even want to get it done. Starts with surrender. Starts with submission. And you can do that when you know that he loves you. As a sinner, he loves you unconditionally. Last words, and we're running over a little bit. I think we'll be fine. I'll just say this. How does this happen? It happens through a process, and it's a big word. lot of you may know it. Some of you may not know it. If you know it, maybe you don't know what it means. Sanctification. Sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is God turning our should do's. This is what we should do, what we heard about this morning. God turning our should do's into want to's. We want to do it. There's condemnation. Should is condemning. Turns our should do's into want to's and our want to's into do's. We start to see change happen in our lives and we go, wow, where's that coming from? It's from God's Spirit. And wherever we do and wherever we don't, you're going to get it done sometimes and there's going to be successes and you're going to fail a lot of the time, probably more than not. Wherever we do, wherever we don't is completely covered in Christ's done. It is finished. At the cross, it is finished. And there is no condemnation for you and for me in Christ Jesus. And that is good news. That's good news. So let me pray and we'll close out our service. Father, we are we're undone truly by this text. Speaking unwholesome talk. The things that come out of our mouths, the stuff we say, the things we do, stealing, being lazy, not working, cutting corners, feeding our anger instead of pursuing peace, dwelling in falsehood and lies instead of honesty and truth. God, we are guilty. We are guilty people. You are a holy God and we are guilty. Would you help us to see and experience the depth of our sin, in order that not that we would experience your wrath and condemnation, but that we would run to Jesus and be covered in everything, his perfect righteousness for what he's done for us, and that we would live under a banner of love that says no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And we pray all these in his name. Amen.